taking when it comes to fire and smoke management, a couple of steps forward and one step back. I'm really kind of concerned, at least some of what I'm hearing right now from Mr. X, who is in studio here, and you were also at the Pam Marsha meeting,
right?
Which I was not able to go to last night. I had other feet, other irons in the fire, no pun intended, that I had to take care of. So break down what we're told, because the media is going to just paint this as it's a new normal. Climate change, and I expected this propaganda from Representative Pam Marsh. There was no doubt about that. Okay, right.
Well, it's actually already started, as I understand. The Morning Mail Tribune, it mentions new normal in headlines and things. And this is what's disturbing, because it doesn't have to be the new normal. We have to make an adjustment in policy and understanding of how this is being accomplished. Okay. When you look at every aspect of this, this whole meeting, the best part about the meeting, okay, and I have to take a positive out of it, is that it communicated the need to prepare, okay? And we need to prepare, because unless some steps are taken to literally police this collaborative mentality that they have, and fine, the collaboratives are that's the new norm, is you have the collaborative influence.
And what we're looking at here, just so people understand, is that what the timber industry used to do, and then was killed by gangrene, right, back in the 1980s, of the thinning, policing the fire system, keeping, taking care of business,
right,
in the forest and actually managing the forest at that point, has now been replaced by a bunch of green collaboratives on grant stream funding.
Right. And this is what all of the new congressional acts have been about, all of these things. And, they talked last night about a lot of things. The best part of last night was that the state fire marshal was there, okay? And then the Department of Forestry, and I apologize because I keep confusing his name with Dave Larson, but Dave, began with an L, so but those two men were my focus of what they did. ODF responds to a fire and tries to put it out in less than 10 acres, okay? The other folks in there, okay, the other one, there was a Green Springs guy, okay? He was, he's trying to put them out, trying to save his people, trying to save the people in his district. He has a small district that covers 250 square miles. I don't envy his position at all. They have to respond. They have to move quick. They have to do a lot. But the information that was passed on the others is like, well, we're going to be, you have to prepare. We have to do prescribed. Everything is prescribed burn, prescribed burn, prescribed burn. We have to restore through fire. They keep going back to the Southern Oregon Forest Restoration Collaborative.
And by the way, folks, when you hear them talking about restoring by fire, that is the let it burn policy.
Right.
It is right out there. It is still in effect. And I have to tell you, the Mail Tribune, as far as I'm concerned, misled many people in Southern Oregon with their since you asked question the other day. Someone was asking, well, do have they let go of Let It Burn? And they called it so-called Let It Burn. And they said, well, the agencies deny that this even exists. I don't care what the agencies say. Read what the agencies write.
That's right. And that's,
and the policies are there in black and white.
What is
restore
there,
by fire?
The one positive thing last night, one of them suggested reading all of these strategies like I've done. And I was sitting there, well, I've read them, and I don't agree with them. All I'm saying is that there's a reasonable time period to do prescribed burning. You don't allow a prescribed burn management plan to proceed during the summer months. That's it. Bottom line, once a state fire marshal has declared the beginning of fire season, we need to lay off of that. And that's what's going to allow us to do that. Now, go into the forest with your collaboratives. Go in and do your thinning projects. Go in and do the hard work that is necessary, but recognize it as the hard work it is. They kept mentioning, the Ashland Forest Resiliency Project. Okay?
It was a failure, though.
Bill, in my interpretation, when I read the newspaper, two newspaper articles, I can only assume that something went wrong. And I look at it because they burnt the trees they were trying to protect when they set the prescribed fire. And if the Oregon Department of Forestry wasn't there already set up, it could have gotten even more tragic. The reality is, acknowledge the mistakes. Don't force us to live with your learning curve. Have someone of substance that understands what has to be done, monitor what has to be done, and do it. But the reality to last night's meeting was, it's, oh, climate change is going to affect us, and climate change is us. You know, the old thought to fire, it's three items. It's a source of ignition, fuel, and oxygen. That's the bottom line.
And they really don't want to do anything to reduce the fuel.
That's right. But looking at, oh, it's a lightning strike, and it's this, and it's that. And right in their own pamphlet that they handed out, okay, it was a Before Wildfire Strikes Handbook for Homeowners and Communities. A large part of this meeting talked about how the Native Americans used to burn everything and all of this. Well, that's based upon this guy, Douglas, that came in here in the 1800s and went through the Willamette Valley, basically. I look at all of these other things. The Indians here, all of the Native American folks here.
You're speaking of Southern Oregon.
Right. Southern Oregon was a different climate, okay? But I showed Bill on the first page.
I'm going to try to hold this up to the the Facebook camera here in a minute.
On the first page in is a photograph of a logging operation in Southern Oregon in the late 1890s. It's a center photograph on the bottom run, and it shows a logging operation. The reality, if you look at the background of the picture and you see the trees in the background, it's almost a duplicate of what we have today.
All right. So I'm going to hold this up. This is the center picture. I don't know if it'll come through on the Facebook Live all that well. But the center picture of the logging area is showing the forest the way we see them right now, horribly overgrown.
That's right.
And they're trying to tell us, Douglas is trying to tell us, that the Native Americans used fire
to restore that. Trying to tell us that. Douglas was the explorer who made the notes, but the notes were taken in the Willamette Valley area. That's a rain.
It's a rainier area than we have.
Once you get north of Eugene, you have a huge amount of rain difference that we get. You know, the totals. But what I'm saying is that all of the photographs that I've reviewed from the earlier days like this, like what we have right here in their own publication, if you look at the reality and look at it logically, what do you have? Well, you have a very dense vegetation in the background. Now, the logs, they don't have 6-foot diameter trees here. They don't have 5-foot diameter trees.
In fact, those look to be about 2 or 3 foot, aren't they?
So, they're not even that. I mean, I'm seeing less than that, to be honest with you. But the idea of
they misread history. They misread they take and they distort the historical record of an explorer who was in the Willamette Valley,
right?
Not in Southern Oregon,
right?
As if the Willamette Valley climate and the Willamette Valley forest situation is the same as in Southern Oregon, and nothing could be further from the truth.
That's right.
All right. That's why I wanted to make sure that we understood this.
You know, the biggest thing, folks, is that what I look at is your silence is your consent. Okay. That's how they've managed to do this. Okay. Our silence becomes our consent. Greg Walden is having a town hall today.
8:30, he's in Grants Pass,
right,
at the Grants Pass High School Auditorium.
11 o'clock, he's here in Medford. Okay, but the realities to it are, we need to express that federal policy has to be changed. It has to adapt itself to the communities that are being harmed. Okay, those are the key factors. We have to start putting all the political pressure we can. Pam Marsh, she's a representative far into Medford. I think Stewart and Barnett or whatever, that's part of her district. It goes all the way to there. We have to flood her office with her to get her to do what a representative for this area should do, which is consider the impact of the smoke. Last night's meeting didn't deal with a lot of the impact of the smoke, okay? They dealt with the impact of getting out of town with wildfire, protecting your house. A lot of things like that, response, how to prepare. You cannot prepare for smoke coming from 200,000 acres of a prescribed burn land management operation.
Now, let me just dive into that, Mr. X. Mr. X is with me. We're talking about the wildfire meeting from last night. What has concerned me is that I know this is how this works, and or at least the way it's been described to me, is that the agencies will say we're not doing Let It Burn. But yet, I would dare say that the Klondike fire was an example of Let It Burn prescribed fire, because right, there were on the fire management plan for all of this land. Well,
that's right.
The fire started, so we're going to draw a nice big box and let everything chew through it. Am I mischaracterizing by saying that.
You are exactly right. And the reality to it is they go to the Southern Oregon Forest Restoration Collaborative, okay? And these are the folks that have set the plan for implementation to collaborate and cooperate and coordinate, supposedly, with the Forest Service, BLM, through the planning operation they have. They've mapped the basin. You know, there's 4 million acres that they're dealing with here. But over the, you know, they want to burn, you know, restore the forest with fire. Now, they've did their studies. They've done this. They've done that. But the words are what concern me. The printout last night, a cohesive strategy for forest restoration in the Rogue Basin. Now, the Rogue Basin is the 4 million acres that I talked about.
But remember, their plan for the restoration is by restoration through fire.
Listen, natural fire is an essential element of a healthy forest and helps mitigate future fires by clearing fuels from the forest floor. Yet wildfires in the western U.S. have become more intense, burning hotter, longer across more of the landscape, destroying communities, impacting livelihoods, and making the air dangerous to breathe. And then they go on to say the causes of more severe wildfires are climate change and outdated forest management practices. I beg to differ. So now if I beg to differ, what is my obligation? My obligation is to try to attend one of their meetings and object to that statement. Because climate change didn't start the fire. Climate change had nothing to do with the starting of the fire.
Climate change has nothing to do with a lightning strike. Climate change has nothing to do with people who may be starting fires in places.
That's exactly right. And so you got to look at it and say, well, the end result is what we're impatient with, or what we've grown looking forward to another nightmare or summer of, is what? It's this layer of smoke that filled our valley. And then it gets held here for months.
All right. I'm going to take another quick break here. We're happy to take your calls. We don't have a lot of time, but we definitely want to dig into this a bit more with you at 770-5633. I'm back with Mr. X. And I also, give me the report from Jackson County, what you've heard about what's going on. Maybe you could touch on some of that here.
I'll try.
Okay. All right. And see if we can. I know we're... Anyway, more coming up. It's not all good news, that's for sure. That's
right. Hi, I'm Ryan Beckley, owner of Terra Firma Foundation Systems. In the Pacific Northwest, shifting soil conditions cause serious issues for the foundation of your home. If you have cracks in your foundation, bowing walls, or sticking windows and doors, it's time to call Terra Firma Foundation Systems. Schedule your free evaluation with our foundation experts at goterrafirma.com/foundation. That's goterrafirma.com/foundation. CCB 173-547.
Storage at Exit 24 is your newest locally owned self-storage facility. A range of unit sizes on 5 well-lit acres with 24-hour video surveillance and climate control keeps your belongings safe and puts your mind at ease. On-site U-Haul rentals and packing supplies make moving easier than ever. Visit storageatexit24.com for a quick estimate and reserve your perfect size, or stop by for a tour from our friendly staff. Depend on Storage at Exit 24 for your secure self-storage needs and some added peace of mind.
Be advised, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save 40 to 80% on a hot tub and swim spa. This weekend only, today through Sunday. Jackson County Fairgrounds, Old Shrewd Arena. Be advised, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save 40 to 80% on a hot tub and swim spa. This weekend only, today through Sunday. Jackson County Fairgrounds, Central Point. 18-month interest-free financing. Our factories have demanded we sell 1,000 hot tubs and swim spas this weekend. Jackson County Fairgrounds, Central Point. Huge factory incentives, factory rebates, this weekend only. Jackson County Fairgrounds, Central Point. We can remove your old hot tub. Free delivery of your new hot tub. Hot tub starting at $2,999. Jackson County Fairgrounds, Central Point. Free delivery of your new hot tub. Just relax and enjoy. Jackson County Fairgrounds, Central Point. Today, noon to 7. Saturday, 10 to 7. Sunday, 10 to 6. Free admission, free parking, free delivery. Jackson County Fairgrounds, Central Point. Call 888-SPA-SALE or go to spapoolandbbqshow.com.
Gun Talk.
We have a pretty good majority in the Senate.
No. We have a majority of 2 or maybe 3. And some of those are flaky on the Second Amendment. And some of those will compromise in a heartbeat. And I'll tell you who else will compromise. You got to watch out for President Trump. He's good, generally speaking, but he's also a deal maker. And he may say, well, we'll give them a little bit of something. Maybe it'll get them off our backs.
It's Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, sponsored by Welburn's Weapons on Highway 62, just south of White City. Every Sunday, 11 to 2 on KMED and KCMD. Never miss the Bill Maher Show. Download recent podcasts at BillMaherShow.com or KMED.com. Brought to you by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, driven by Linux on Airway Drive off Vilas.
752, kind of catching up this morning on the fire and smoke cures being offered, and Representative Pam Marsh and the people that were speaking there yesterday, for the most part, I just wanted to give you more of the same, in my opinion, and we must be honest with that. Mr. X here breaking this down. Patrick's in Gold Hill. Patrick, you had a take or quick question about this. Go ahead on Let It Burn. Let's hear it.
Wasn't there a statement or a reference from that car fire down in the Redding area? Some guy was out there coming along there with his small cat on the trailer. He saw the fire starting, and he started to unload his cat to fight the fire, and some official told him, no, don't do that. Let it burn. Just stay out of there. I say that's evidence of their foul intentions, and I also say the guy should have said, screw you, I'm working on the fire. You can
come arrest me if that's the case, and maybe that's where we go. Patrick, let me see what he has to say about that. Mr. X?
They did a lot of references, Patrick. I have to, in what you just said, I don't remember anything addressing that part. They did address the fire starts that were human caused by chains dragging on trailers, to equipment malfunctions.
And I think that was the Klamathon fire started
right.
That, didn't
and
it?
And that's what I heard that they, that they addressed and talked to. And, I mean, that's prudent. We need to maybe wrap our chains on our trailers. We need to make sure they're not dragging on the road. We have to be prudent as well, because as long as we have the influence of these people, this is what I'm saying, though, is that these groups, we have to start going to these meetings. We have to become part of that group. We can't let one-sided views go on anymore. We have to start bringing in the views of the entire area.
All right. What you were telling me, from what you understand, the news from Jackson County on this, and I was really thrilled when Jackson County pulled out of the Association of Oregon Counties a number of months ago.
Right.
And because the Association of Oregon Counties, the AOC, ends up being part of that whole, you join the AOC, and then the state coordinates with the federal government on your behalf when it comes to these fire injuries and these miseries being visited upon us. And to me, I think that's been part of the reason why the counties have been caught sort of flat-footed on these battles. So what are you hearing?
Well, this is the bizarre thing. They had a gentleman there from the Regional Solutions program with Governor Kate Brown from the Consensus program.
Oh, dear God. These people are still... Okay.
Okay, and if you're going to understand and do something about a problem, we need a regional solution. Okay, don't get me wrong. But don't keep going with more of the same. Recognize the problem and come up with solutions that address the problem in reality, not in a pipe dream, in reality. And the reality is we can't live here with the smoke. It will eventually harm everyone here. We will lose our real estate values. We will lose every bit. We will have our health deteriorate. Every aspect of this, and we won't have an economy.
According to people that are in the real estate agency, they've been letting me know, it's already affecting estate values because there are people selling out because of the smoke.
That's right. So now, because of a small group of people who think that we should prescribe burn every acre of burnable land, and that's their quote, not mine, I sit here and I look at it and say, why am I allowing these people to speak for me?
But why are our counties allowing them to more or less speak for us?
The danger of the county's move, like what you were just talking about, okay, rejoining AOC.
Are they rejoining AOC? I've heard.
From what I heard yesterday, they voted to rejoin AOC. Okay. Now, that is, that's the county decision. If there is a prudent move in that, fine. If they have the ability to spell it out in their contract where they can withdraw from the effects of that or something, I don't know. That has to be drawn up by county council. That has to be thought through. But the reality of it is once they join AOC, they become part of a cooperating agency. Okay. The status of that allows their federal forest working group, all of their documentation that they have, Federal Forest Advisory Committee, and then it was the Federal Forest Working Group, the state plan of how they vision their federal forest land, okay? And everybody says, oh, well, the difference in this land and that land, the ODF land looks good, the federal land looks bad. You look at all of these different things. Well, they're waiting for the collaborative process through the Good Neighbor Authority to, you know, be implemented, and these collaborative groups go out and thin the forest. Well, they've taken 12 years, I think it is, to work on the Ashland watershed, okay? And, hey, did they do a good job? Well, they burnt the trees they were trying to protect. Now, I look at that, and I say, okay, learn from it, but don't subject me to your learning curve.
Okay, but still, Jackson County rejoined the Borg, is what you're telling me.
Well, that's what I'm saying, okay, I understand it.
All right,
voted to rejoin.
Or they voted to rejoin, okay. What is it?
Well,
is it money?
Now,
I mean, what?
Bear in mind, as you look at that,
I'm sorry to be so angry about this, except that, you know, I want the counties to step up and grab the bull by the horns and put the damn freaking fires out.
Well,
and that's just it. Don't talk to me about collaborative groups. Get rid of Let It Burn. You've got to challenge these people. You have to challenge that system.
Well,
I'm sorry to be angry, but this is our lifeblood. This is our economy, Mr. X.
This is our lives.
I know.
Totally, Bill, on every level. And, you know, the reality last night, there was a lot of discussion about reading the plans, okay, all the strategic plans. I've read them. I've provided them. I've brought them out here. I look at this as such a nightmare, because when I read them and I actually take the verbiage and you start understanding what they're actually saying. And when they get down to these lines, like this handout last night, a cohesive strategy for forest restoration in the Rogue Basin. And there's three lines on the bottom here. Hmm. They do reduce wildfire risk of forests and communities. Number two, protect and restore forests. Now there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 items that they list under there as imperatives, right? The last one, set the stage for controlled burning with prudent mechanical treatments, okay? Now, fine. Control burn it. Don't do it in the middle of summer. That's it.
And until we stop letting stuff burn...
That's right.
...in the summer, nothing has changed here, folks.
That's right.
And this is why, I got to tell you, I'm going to be getting county commissioners in here. I guess I'm going to have to get them in one at a time, otherwise it becomes a quorum. Well, but if we're rejoining AOC and we're not really stepping up and using our policing power, nothing's changing.
Right.
And maybe I'm just going off prematurely, and I'm sorry if I am.
Now
there's
some background in, you know, there was a lot of changes at AOC, and maybe that led to their decision.
All right.
Okay, supposedly they got rid of a lot of the direct connections, you know, that were being problematic. There was different things that occurred with it. But the reality to it is, as citizens, we have to pay attention to this stuff, and we have to be able to make our voices heard. And Greg Walden, okay, we need, you know, this morning I'm watching, okay, and they're talking
I only got about a minute left. I'm already over time, so let's just wrap it up.
What is the name of the group that's... they're always
indivisible.
Indivisible. Okay, so they're doing it. The TV station did an interview with Indivisible. Well, why? And Indivisible, we're going to question him on all these little social justice issues.
Indivisible doesn't know crap about this.
Our biggest issue is this smoke in the summer, or we won't be able to live here. Okay, that's the reality.
It's not about President Trump. It's not about impeachment.
Right.
It's not about that.
It's not about border security.
It's if we get to live.
That's right.
All right.
We need to overshadow their presence at this meeting and make sure Greg understands that.
All right.
We have to start that process.
All right. Hopefully, if you're going to the Grants Pass meeting, you're already there, because it starts at 8:30. And the commies will already be showing up in mass before that, 11 o'clock at the Central Medford High School. That's on Barnett and Oakdale. Got to run here, Mr. X, okay?
Not a problem.
All right, 8 o'clock, KMED Medford, KCMD Grants Pass.